The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number three of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 189. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas, MLB Manager of the Year, deep dive coming up. Justin Emery on today's strikeout prop and just his evolution as a bettor. He has been killing this daily strikeout prop, the strikeout leader, I should say, for all major league starting pitchers. We'll get his analysis on his evolution as a bettor to get to this.
No pressure today.
No pressure whatsoever. Of course, if he doesn't get it today, people are going to be like, he sucks. He's been awesome at this, so we'll get to it. But first, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Kelly and I did a water taste test. Because apparently I'm a water snob and I was challenged on being able to discern the difference between different waters.
We didn't get to that point. Was it Friday?
Yeah.
I don't even know if I challenged you, but you claimed you could taste the difference in these.
Between your garden variety casino water and the bottled good stuff?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Well, and you said Evian versus Fiji.
Yeah. And Fiji to me had just dropped below Evian for me. Yeah.
And after I boldly agreed with you, and then I walked back on the show, I remember, I was like, actually, once we do this with four, and I feel this way right now, four cups of water have no freaking clue.
All right, so
I've changed my mind.
Before we reveal, so for one, two, three, four, I had in order Aquapana.
Okay, I've changed that to Evian. I'm going Evian.
Okay, that could be Evian too. Aquapana and Evian, I can't make a distinction between. They're both really good.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so I kind of had that issue too.
The main point for me is that two is the horrible stuff.
I'm with you.
And I think four is the Fiji.
I went two,
one and three are interchangeable.
Two generic, three Fiji. That's where you went Evian?
Yes.
We both really liked three. Three Fiji, four Aquapana.
Okay. And the results are in. Here they are.
So wrong.
Oh my God. That is so bad. Dude, I didn't get one right. And the bad stuff was the Evian. Number two
right
was so clearly the worst.
It was clearly the worst.
Oh, man. So what does that tell me? Does that tell me that I am being, my brain is being completely influenced by the bottle and also by the nature of the water coming into the mouth, by the size of the bottle. This has ruined my life. This is awful.
I knew this was going to happen. As soon as we both said that about two, I knew it was going to happen. That two, was either going to be Fiji or Evian.
I don't know what
sure.
You guys, did you guys do something to number two, by the way? You guys do something to it?
No, nothing.
They say nothing. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, turns out I know nothing about water.
Well, I stand by what I said last segment. One in three clearly tasted the best.
This is Kelly. By the way,
this is creepy.
Kelly.
Is this during Wes Reynolds?
Me and Wes are talking.
Larry raising the roof.
This
back
is.
There.
Look at your face. You're so. You're like, oh, I don't know.
Yep.
Well, let me try this one again because now that I'm 100 pounds plus less. Maybe. Wait a minute. I'm confused. Let me type something
I
out.
Change.
Let me
I'm changing
bang
my
something
answers.
Now I'm changing my answer. Gil is doing this interview. He's actually earning the money here. That's just okay. There you go.
Oh man.
See, I'm devastated.
The
by
crew
this.
Likes to mess around and have fun, but then it's like, okay, now I know what you can do if I need something in 3 minutes.
Can we shout out the crew? First of all, Chris Foster, who took my phone, ran down, got the water, ran back, and then he put together this graphic, the ANG blind water test with these beautiful bottles up here, which apparently I know nothing about.
I wish I could say I was more shocked. This was always going to be difficult.
This number two in this,
yeah,
in
no,
this,
I know,
in this cup
I know,
is disgusting.
One in
That's
three
the
were clearly the best to me. The only thing I'm really mad about is that when I was rearranging.
Now that much I agree with.
Right, tasted the
three,
best this morning.
At least I got that part right. One in three were clearly the best, which means that Evian has to drop out of my one. All the way down to three, and that Fiji and Aquapana will just go up a notch.
Come back to Team Fiji.
Yeah.
The water's warm, Gil.
Okay.
Jump on in.
Wow. Okay.
Man, I'm just mad because when I was switching them, I couldn't figure out whether to go Fiji one or three.
Iga, Swiatek, double parked outside, 5-love over Zhang Shenwen.
Wow, I think it was 3-love when we started this segment.
Okay.
That can't be possible.
Real quick, Triple Crown numbers, because this is really close now. Yordan Alvarez, American League quest for the first Triple Crown since 2012. since 2012. Was it 2012 or 2013? I can never remember.
2012.
The yes on Yordan Alvarez winning the Triple Crown is +475. The no is $7. Right now, Yordan Alvarez, remember these are the baseball card stats, average, home run, RBI. Right now, Yordan Alvarez is hitting .314. Next closest player in the American League, Chandler Simpson of the Rays at .308. So he's got a little bit of a bulge there in the average department. Yep. Home runs, dead heat tie. Junior Caminero, 38. Yordan, 38. Ben Rice, two back at 36. RBI, Yordan, 95. Pete Alonso, 94.
Oh, man.
And he's +475. I get it. He's tied for homers, and he's only got a one RBI lead in RBIs. But +475?
Yeah. His yes price keeps getting longer.
It's just, he can't quite get to the finish line. Is this what's going to happen?
Caminero
took the lead, by the way.
Did he?
But now it's tied again because Alvarez finally hit one yesterday.
I would be more okay with getting involved if he if you told me there was a two more RBI lead or something like that.
Yeah.
I think I'd be more, like if you told me this was basically just betting on how the home run market was going to end up. Yeah, I would take a stab at +475 and good on Caesars for continuing to put this up every day.
Don't you kind of have to take the +475? I mean, there's less than 20, fewer than 20 games left in the season.
I mean, it's short runway here.
He is 1-T-1-1, although that third one is only by one RBI. 1-T-1-1. Only one Triple Crown winner, Miguel Cabrera, in the last 59 years since Carl Yastrzemski did it in 1967 for the Red Sox.
Man, you and I usually don't get pulled in by props like this either, especially you.
But +4, then the second I bet it, he's just going to not do anything.
Just not going to do anything. Nothing the rest of the season.
Yeah. Oh, it looked like he was going to coast in on this, and not happening.
Absolutely.
Home run drought for him recently.
To anybody asking the question, absolutely, I don't mind a play on the yes at all.
I don't.
Right? Like, I don't mind anybody playing that. It's just, stat categories that you're going to have to win out on.
Yeah.
Although, they are correlated, right, Gil? Like, the chances that he wins out in home runs.
Correct.
Probably pretty good chance he wins out in RBI then.
Hmm. All right. I need the full segment for manager of the year stuff. I don't need the full segment, but I need more than 4 minutes.
Okay, we'll push it to the next segment.
What about your NFL futures? What do you have then, NFL?
Well, Gil, what I got so far, and I haven't, have you added any futures bets in the past, like, week and a half, two weeks? Me neither.
No.
There's a few more I've still got circled that I haven't played. Okay, win totals for me that I have bet. Browns under 6.5. The Panthers under 7.5. And then to win division, Bills 125 to win the AFC East. I have that Bears prop over 415.5 points scored. And then awards, Jadarian Price, Offensive Rookie of the Year, 9-1. A.J. Brown, Offensive Player of the Year, 60-1. Malik Nabers, Offensive Player, 60-1.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, we got kind of excited. I think Matt was in here. Yeah, Matt was in here because he bet this too. We got excited when training camp first started, and it was like, Malik Nabers is on the field. Like, well, all right. I'll tell you the other. Okay.
That's still fewer NFL futures than you've ever had.
I don't know about ever, but usually I'm a few off of where I'm usually at. This is the three I've been staring at for weeks now, Gil, for weeks. And now, honestly, prices might have moved where I'm just not going to bet them. I might check here again today. Vikings to make the playoffs, +165. That was at Boomers. I have written down like that number. If you're telling me that's sub-150, I don't really know that I want to get involved, but that's how I'd bet the Vikings. I would rather bet them to make the playoffs than over their win total. Steelers, no, to make the playoffs, -167. Got to lay a pretty big number there, but I'd rather play that than the win total. Obviously I've gotten burned on the win total here in recent years, but just there's so many AFC teams. I don't see them leapfrogging one or two of these to get into the playoffs. So I'm looking at that. And then the other one, Jets over wins, which I definitely have to bet before the season if I'm going to play that. Over 5.5 at even money at Caesars.
That footage of you contemplating the waters while I'm doing the interview.
I took the serious man. Four really threw a curveball at me. I didn't know what to do once four hit me.
Whose idea was that? Darnell, was that your idea? That was a great idea to have that camera.
Good job back there. Yeah.
My three NFL futures. Niners over 9.5 wins, which again, I talked about 5-6 different times during the offseason. And I know the injuries mounted, but I still like it. Again, they missed 64 games to injury to their top six highest paid players last year. Obviously, everybody but Ayuk is coming back. By the way, Brandon Ayuk, where is he playing this weekend? Anywhere?
Yeah, good question. So
Niners over 9.5 wins. To me, they still managed 12 wins last year with all those injuries. Give me the over 9.5 wins, despite having the Rams and Seahawks in that division. I do have the Niners plus the points in Melbourne this week. Nick Benito, Defensive Player of the Year, 14-1. I just feel like of all the usual suspects for that award, he should be added to that list. And 14-1, he's the best player on what I think is the best defense in all of football. Apologies to the Texans and the Eagles. And then the one that I'm probably the most happy about, Caleb Williams, passing yards leader, 20-1. Again, 4,000 yards. The Bears have never had a passer in the history of that franchise to throw for 4,000. He threw for over 3,900, Caleb did last year. That's actually a stat that means a lot to that franchise. They're going to try to get that for him. And Ben Johnson has said outwardly, we're going to try to break the record for the most points. It is also complemented by the fact that their defense has gotten the best of turnovers and the best performances on third and fourth downs in the last couple years. They're actually due to regress dramatically to the mean. I don't think they're very good, which means more opportunities for the offense if the opposing offenses matriculate down the field quicker on them. So give me Caleb, passing yards leader, 20-1. You don't have to give me to it. I already got it. Coming back, MLB Manager of the Year breakdown next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The wait is finally over. College football is back and the NFL season kicks off this week. Now's the time to get your edge with VSiN Pro. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get instant access to our updated NFL betting guide with post preseason updates, week one NFL betting systems, contest strategies, and fresh best bets from VSiN's experts. You also receive our college football betting guide with previews of all 138 FBS teams. Sign up now. You also get daily best bets, real-time betting splits for DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Get started for just $9.99 or save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Should we show that Kelly off camera again? Again, this is while I'm doing the Wes Reynolds interview. He's a...
Challenge to me. I'm going to take it serious.
Let's see here. I went to FSU, so maybe I should know my water better than I originally thought. I'm going to retype something else here.
Four really threw a curveball at me.
Yeah, I really got to earn my stripes here by getting these waters correct.
Yep.
So in the end...
Hey, I'm not the one who claimed he could do this.
John Balducci, best water straight from the tap in Aruba. This is from Rula.
Brag.
No, this is from Joe Belicious. After hearing the Guess the Water challenge, two questions. One, is the 9 o'clock hour an all request hour? And two, what number caller do I need to be to win the concert tickets? Love my favorite DJs. Good day, gentlemen. Thank you. Mariners Geek. We did. It's Labor Day. It's a Monday, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
Mariners Geek.
Also, that caller thing is a lie. I can tell you that from internships.
The what is?
Caller 10 gets this. Are you kidding me? It's some bored intern like Kelly Bidlin doing that. I picked whatever damn caller I wanted.
Bro. We were
one, this lady sounds nice. Let's have her win.
We were 106 KML jams. We claimed to
call 106.
Yeah. When I first got there, I counted all the way to 106. By like week three, I'm like, you're caller 105 and you're caller 106.
One more to go.
Mariners Geek, Michigan football. The game doesn't start until there's 0.00 on the clock. Yeah. Listener Lance, big water got to your producers. They sure did. iHeart SEC podcast. Hey, Gil, how you feeling regarding Iga to win the Open? I put a little pizza money on Alcaraz and Swiatek. I mean, I feel as good as I did about both of them from before the tournament. But again, Iga's got to get by Zheng Xinwen today to get to the quarters. This is probably the best one from Chance Copperpod. He says, love the bottled water taste test. You just experienced gastrophysics live on air. Your tongue does not work alone. Your brain builds flavor using all your senses at once. This is why coffee tastes better out of those thick, old-school diner mugs. Wow.
Who tweeted this?
Chance Copperbot.
Chance. Wow.
It's very well said. And Paul Nelson, for those of us listening, you said which ones you got wrong, but not what the waters were by number. And is it Melbourne or Melbourne?
Melbourne.
Yeah, it's Melbourne. I don't want to hear anybody, any American saying the Australian Melbourne.
Melbourne Cricket Club.
Because if you say Melbourne, I want you to say Yerushalayim and Nicaragua. I want you to say all those things as well in those accents. But as far as the, so one ended up being, I'm sorry, that's right, for the radio
people. Yeah, flash the graphic again,
fellas. We can flash the graphic one more time.
Clearly we forgot.
So the good part was that one in three, one was Fiji. Two, which we thought was the worst, was Evian. Three was Aquapana. Four turned out to be the garden variety casino water. The good news is that one in three, which we thought were both good, ends up being Fiji and Aquapana. So I just have to move my number two and my number three up the rankings one bullet hole. The real story, though, is that Evian drops like an anvil.
Yeah, it sure tasted like a mountain this morning.
Yeah.
It was not great.
What did I say? Like an anchor, I meant to say.
It had a little bit of metallic taste, right?
I don't know what's going on. I got
to
get out of
here. I don't know why. It's a big deal, at least to me in this city. I don't know why all the casinos are moving from Fiji to Evian, but they are.
Major League Baseball Manager of the Year. Now, it's not Major League Baseball because it's American League and National League, right? There's a Manager of the Year awarded in both leagues, as there should be.
I got to bet Chad Tracy. I'm in on this.
You bet Chad Tracy?
Yeah, I tailed Mr. Joe Sheehan.
Oh, interesting.
A while ago. So I got 28-1 on him.
Well, I'm not sure you're going to like it after what you learned from me.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah. Here's the deal. Here's the deal on this. First of all, where is this available? Not everywhere.
FanDuel.
FanDuel is the one that is the most consistent with having Manager of the Year, American League and National League. So I went back the last 10 years to try to learn something about Managers of the Year.
Good on you.
20 out of the last 20. Remember, 10 AL, 10 NL last year, last 10 years.
Okay.
20 out of 20 made the playoffs. Okay. Not really surprising, probably. 14 out of the 20 won their division.
Okay.
6 out of the 20, in other words, were wild cards. 5 out of the 20 both won their division and ended up with the best record in their league. 20 out of 20, here comes the betting part of this, exceeded their season win total.
Yeah.
Every single one of them exceeded their season win total.
So we're still doing the NFL thing.
Now listen to this part. Of the 20, they all exceeded their season win total. I went and averaged by how much did they beat their season win total. The eventual managers of the year exceeded their season win pre-flop season win total by an average of 12.675 games. Now, remember, though, that includes the truncated pandemic year where there's only 60 game schedule. So I throw that one out, which I should, right? Because you're not going to exceed your season win total by nearly as much that year. The resulting AL and NL managers of the years over the last decade exceeded their pre-flop season win total by an average, Kelly, of 13.42 games. In other words, they shattered it. It is skewed. Okay. I will say this. It is helped along, right? It is skewed heavily by the Giants in 2021. Remember, they won 107 games when their season win total was 75.5. But there's a couple others that only beat their season win total by 2.5. So it all averages out. Again, throw out the pandemic year of 60-game seasons. The average MLB manager of the year exceeded their season win total, their pre-flop season win total, by 13.42 games. That is significant, a significant just crushing of your season win total. So here's the dealio. In the let's start with the American League. In the American League, Will Venable, the Chicago White Sox, is your short shot. Will Venable, the Chicago White Sox, is your short shot. He's actually the favorite. He's -160 last I checked. The White Sox, Kelly, have already exceeded their season win total by 6.5 games. It was 67.5. They're already 74-68. Actually, it might be 75 after last night. So they've already exceeded it. Guess what, though? So he's -300 now. Kevin Cash of the Rays has actually exceeded their season win total. The Tampa Bay Rays have already exceeded their season win total by 8.5 games already.
Okay.
Your pick, Chad Tracy, who's +550. Now, the Red Sox actually haven't gotten to their season win total yet. They're still 8.5 games below their season win total. Not saying they won't get there. They will, But clearly, the White Sox and the Rays, by expectation, have clearly exceeded their season win total going away in the American League. Nobody else, none of the other candidates after Tracy, Stephen Vogt of the Guardians, Derek Shelton of the Twins, Skip Schumacher of the Rangers, none of those teams have gotten to their season win total yet. The White Sox and the Rays are so far ahead of the fray in this, it's not even funny. So I get why Venable is the favorite, because it's perceived, because the White Sox season win total was so low.
Right.
That it feels like they've exceeded their season win total by more, when in fact it's the Rays who have done so. And so I actually think the value is on Kevin Cash. Well, let me not say that. I think Kevin Cash, by our methodology, is actually the better bet. But I do understand the human brain's feeling that Will Venable deserves it more because the Sox were supposed to suck. The only thing that can torpedo you on Venable, though, is not only if there's a Cash contingent, but also if the Sox somehow don't make the playoffs, right? Between now and the end of the year, the Sox only have a 2.5 game lead over the Guardians, who right now inhabit the third wild card as well. So it's not much of a cushion for the White Sox. So a bet on Will Venable is actually a bet on the White Sox. You might as well bet the White Sox to win that division or make the playoffs instead.
Love it. Absolutely.
If you're going to bet this category, you should take the flyer on Kevin Cash to win, because the Rays are probably going to win the AL East.
Well, and the other big thing there, right? Didn't you go over it in the parameters? If they get the one seed, right? They might be the one seed.
Right. So but this one to me is mano a mano. I don't think Chad Tracy has a chance.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Now, the National League.
Unfortunately, I'm with you on that.
The National League is pretty interesting, because Pat Murphy of the Brewers is +150. Speaking of exceeding your pre-flop season win total, Brewers have already done it by 3.5 games. Their season win total was 84.5.
Yep.
And in the case of Walt Weiss and the Braves, they're just shy, but they haven't gotten there yet. And then all the others, well below. Well, Arizona's almost at their season win total, too. But all the others are well below. Don Mattingly of the Phillies, Greg Stammen of the Padres, Craig Counsell of the Cubs. So Pat Murphy and Walt Weiss, because the Braves are almost there. To me, this is a mano-a-mano as well between those two guys. The case for the others is just not as strong based on expectations. Here's the fly in the ointment on this one. Guess who won the NL Manager of the Year the last 2 years, Kelly? Pat Murphy and Pat Murphy.
Oh, man.
There has never been in the history of baseball a Manager of the Year to win three of these in a row. Bobby Cox of the Braves won in 2004 and 2005. Kevin Cash won in 2020 and 2021. Stephen Vogt of the Guardians won the last 2 years also. But Pat Murphy has won the last 2 years. So if you believe they will not be willing to give Pat Murphy the first ever three-peat, then Walt Weiss becomes the bet in the NL, in my opinion.
I go back to last week, though. The Braves, it feels like we've barely talked about them all year.
But the Brewers, by expectation, by season win total, they have clearly been the best in the National League, and he deserves it on that alone.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on the numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, cozied up, by the way, because we have a third member on the desk right now. He is the producer of Money Moves, which comes to you 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, Monday through Friday here on the network, hosted by the great Stormy Bonatoni and Jonathan Von Tobel. Their producer, Justin Emery, wrote a phenomenal article at VSiN.com last week, which I talked about last week, about his journey from betting daily strikeout totals on individual pitchers, over-unders on individual pitchers. This pitcher, pitcher X, has 6.5, over-under, 5.5. How he wasn't doing too much with that, wasn't really making a lot of headway. And then he had a shift in his sort of evolution into this kind of betting strategy, and really ended up trying to really, you know, get the best of the strikeout leader per day, which is where he found his pot of gold. Justin Emery joins us right now on the desk here on a numbers game. Little golf clap
golf
for
clap.
You. Justin, I couldn't have been more impressed. By the way, I botched that little that intro there. I couldn't have been more impressed with how you thought your way through this. First of all, when you first were doing strikeout props, and thanks for coming, let me just say that.
Yes, early.
What is your probably. Twitter handle, by the way?
At Justin Emery Show.
Justin Emery Show.
First name, last name, show.
E-M-E-R-Y, by the way, for those who are scoring at home. All right, so before you did the strikeout props just for the individual pitchers, were you betting a lot before then?
I'm outside of baseball, not really.
Okay.
As far as baseball goes, I'm strictly a props guy, pretty much. I don't like to put my wagers in the hands of a bullpen a lot of times. So I'm strictly a props guy. I like to go after player props, Nerfy, Yerfy, that kind of stuff. I do not really like to go full game, even first five innings. I'm not really a big fan of. Just put it in the player props hands.
And you are baseball first, right? Baseball first, football second, and that's mainly you, right?
As far as betting goes. Now, yeah. Football is my favorite sport. But when it comes to betting, it's baseball and it's not even close. Like, I sit in the back all during the NFL playoffs, like, all right, guys, I can't wait for it to be baseball season just for me to be, like, I don't wish football season to go away, but I love, like, the 6-7 month stretch of every single day being able to bet on baseball.
And then what was the light bulb for you? You just sort of stumbled on a prop that you didn't know existed?
Yeah, I just was scrolling through the Caesars app trying to find some content to put on the show. And it popped up, daily strikeout leader, daily K's. And I clicked on it. And the first pitcher was like plus 600, plus 700. I go, all right, well, that's much better than like minus 124 for whoever it is to go over 6.5. So I just fired a couple the very first day. Didn't win. Just blind. They didn't do any research. Says, hey, let me just fire a couple off. Didn't win. The next day, June 2nd, because I found it on June 1st. This happened to be the first of the month. June 2nd, I hop on there. I say, all right, let me throw some on Kyle Harrison. I know he's really hot right now. Strikes out 12 plus 600. And rest is history. It just kept going.
You were hooked. But now you did this. This is not just him throwing darts, though. You were very deliberate. You had already done the research for the individual props. What you had already been doing just happened to apply better to this then, right? It was some of the same stuff you were doing.
So in addition to doing the over-under, I would say, okay, let me see who can hit the top of their ladder. You know, if it's 5.5, who can get 6+, 7+, 8+? But, you know, if you can get 8+ at, just for example, plus 700. But to lead the slate, the same guy might be 16-1. And the difference between leading the slate is getting 10 and just 8+. Why not just roll the dice at the highest odds you can possibly get for that guy?
The article's still up at VSiN.com. It was called...
Can he get to 10?
Can he get to 10? Because 10, you did the legwork on this. 10 ended up being the number that really was the, for lack of a better term, the strike price on these. That was what you were trying to get to with all of these, because more often than not, that ended up winning the day.
Yes. So I didn't start tracking the eyes till June, but I retroactively went back from opening day. So for the 6 days in March, the average leading strikeout was 10.33. For April, it was 9.83. For May, it was 10.23. For June, it was 10.1. For July, it was 10.44.
Wow, pretty consistent.
For August, it is 10.1. And so far through the first 6 days of September, only have one that is under 10.
Only one that is under 10. And by the way, the other thing you mentioned in the article, which I thought was fascinating, was you then did a study. And by the way, here are the first 6 days. Those numbers on the left are just the first 6 days of September. These are who have come home in this strikeout prop, the daily strikeout prop. You see, as long as Trevor Rogers on September 2nd, 22-1 for the Birds, he had 11 Ks. And then as short as Gavin Williams on the 1st of September, but he was 8-1 and he had 13 Ks. He ended up having the most on that day. So, and so far the most of any winner in this month so far. The other thing you did, and we'll come to today, all this is leading to who Justin has for today. No pressure, Justin, on today, by the way.
No problem.
But you also did an interesting analysis of where the winners in the betting odds list, where the winners generally came from. Were they the short shots? Were they the long shots? What did you find?
So more often than not, the shortest shot on the board did not win. If the favorite won, he was usually significantly shorter. So the average odds for the shortest on the board was about plus 430. Okay. However, the outright winner only won about 15% of the time, if it was the shortest odds. However, caveat to that is, if the shortest odds did win outright, he was usually closer to plus 380. So So if you had a guy on the shortest odds that was, you know, plus 250, plus 275, sometimes as low as plus 175, might be a little bit of an indication you might want to get on that guy.
How many times have you won this so far? Out of how many roughly days?
So I have the, so I'm 4-2 in September so far.
Are you betting? How many guys a day are you betting?
Anywhere from like 2 to 4, more than 4. Like yesterday I had 3.
Okay.
On Saturday I had 4. On Friday I had 4. Anywhere from 2 to 4.
Okay. And how many times have you won doing that?
So,
4 out of 6 days.
Yeah, September, I'm 2-4. I am 61-25 from June 1st through August.
61-25?
Yes.
What do you mean 61-25?
So 61 of those days, yeah. I had the winner. 25 of my bets, I had one of my bets was the winning pitcher, 61 of those days. 25 of those days, I went 0-4, whatever.
Since what? Gotcha. Since when? Since 80 some days
since,
back.
Since yeah. June. Since
wow,
June 1st.
Since June. Okay. 61-25 doing it this way.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
And 4-2 in September.
All right. And never more than 3 or 4 at a time.
In the beginning, I did because I was still kind of developing my strategy. It was really up until mid to late June that sometimes I was firing on as many as like 8 or 9 guys. Depending on who I thought it was, because earlier in the season the pool of winners was much larger. Mm. And then as we go through, you realize, all right, this guy doesn't have it anymore.
Yeah.
This guy doesn't have it anymore. This guy doesn't have it. You could alter your strategy. But it really until about mid to late June, that's when I said, okay, I can't just fire at half the board. Even if I, because the problem, it wasn't that I was not picking winners, I was diluting how much profit
sure.
I was making.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like if I was hitting, you know, a 14-1,
it's not really,
but I was only winning like 1.5 units. And it just wasn't worth it at those price hit those prices to have so many guys. Yeah. And I realized it was just I'm putting guys on just because I don't want to miss out on it.
And the math is not 62-25 clean because the days you're losing the 25, you're losing in chunks.
Mm. Yes.
But the odds on the 62 that you end up winning overcomes all of
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which brings us to today. Dylan Cease, no surprise, the short shot for the Blue Jays. He's 4-1. Jesus Luzardo is plus 425. And then the only other three in single digits, Emmett Sheehan, 7-1. Joey Cantillo, 8-1. And Yuri Perez is 9-1. So what are we doing today?
Love Dylan Cease. I also have a lot of Dylan Cease for season strikeout leader. So big on him. Anytime you get Cease plus 300 or more, I'm going to take him. So you're getting him at 4-1. Jump all over him. Love Luzardo. He's won many times this summer for me. I'm trying to talk myself into Perez at 9-1. They're the only three that I really can think are capable of winning for today. Chase Burns, no. He's kind of fallen off a little bit for his strikeout metrics. Yeah, he's. And here are some of the projections for today. These are from VSiN.com. Opta AI and Ballpark both have Cease and Luzardo in the top three, and Cease is number one. No surprise, he's plus 400. I would just take your two shots today, Cease, Luzardo. If you want a little piece of Perez, maybe like a half unit, quarter unit, but you only got 11 games today. That's also shorting the odds a little bit. If you had a full 15-game slate, you'd probably get a little bit longer.
And all these and the metrics you use to come up with your projections are all in that article.
Yes.
Which is called, once again,
Can You Get to 10?
Can You Get to 10 at vsin.com. Justin Emery, thank you for joining us, man. I cannot praise you enough for that piece. It was so well written.
Yes.
At Justin Emery Show is where you can find him on Twitter. And there it is. There's the tweet. Kyle Harrison started it all. Coming back on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Most people think sports betting is about picking winners. Ungambled is built on a different idea, match betting and arbitrage. It's a tool that teaches you how to use sportsbook bonuses and promotional offers to capture value, whether or not your side covers. And Ungambled backs it up. If you don't turn a profit on your bankroll in 8 weeks, they refund your membership. To learn more, start with the free guide at ungambled.com/VSiN. That's ungambled.com/VSiN and use promo code VSiN for 10% off. Bet sharp. Look square. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, we have a situation. I don't know if you've been watching what's been happening on the screen to our right.
I haven't. I looked over there a minute ago, though. It's
so I opened my mouth when Iga was up 5-0, and I said, she's double parked outside. She's rolling. What we have here is, I don't know how many times this has happened in tennis history. They're going to have to look this up. But Zhengxin Wen, 2 days ago, was down to Madison Keys in the third set, 5-0. She stormed back to win that set and the match, 7-5. Today, Iga's beating her 5-0 in the first set. She storms back and beats Iga 7-5 in the first set. I don't know how many times a player in their careers comes back from a 5-0 deficit to win a match or to win a set, pardon me, let alone doing it two times in a row.
Wait, 5-0 today?
Let alone doing it twice in a row at the U.S. Open. She came in as a qualifier this year. She's obviously not a real qualifier. Right, she's a great player. But still, to do that against two great players in Keys and Świątek, we could be cooked here. Because I don't know how Iga's going to bounce back from that. That is brutal. What a performance from Zhengxin Wen. Iga bets aside. Wow. We're doing a show over here, and every time I look over, I'm like, what's happening?
What's going on over there? That's a brutal first segment.
Brutality.
And now
the U.S. Open carnage continues, because now Iga to win the women's side is very much in doubt at 7-1. I had to open my mouth.
Had to.
At 5-0. You figure 5-0, we were safe. Nope. Good God.
Yeah, let's see. Live futures board.
Tronsky, while we were doing that segment, hey, Gil, it's 5-5 with some wicked shadows on half the court. She's looking like her confidence is shot. Is she going to gack this? Well, she did the first. Let's see. Jeff Staples. The sports betting talk is helpful and informative, but can you do a deep dive on why Zach Cohen's wife won't let him run the air conditioning during the day? Is that a thing? I didn't know that. Is that, man.
Eagle Live 11-1, real quick, just for the win the U.S. Open. I didn't know that was a thing. That must have come up on a show. That's kind of hilarious. I'm pretty sure Zach is at home all day between writing, and he's kind of dad at home.
I had no idea that you won't let him use the air condition, though.
That's rough, man. That's rough.
Montreal Max, this is absolutely incredible to watch Zhang do these massive comebacks in basically back-to-back sets versus Keys and Iga. WTF. I've never seen anything like it. And Noemi Doug said Iga's in her head. Yeah, except for the fact that Zhang just did it in the last match also. And Maddie Keys was ready to, I mean, she wasn't ready to retire from tennis at the end of that match, but you could tell she was ready to fire her coach, her husband. With her comments. Yeah. Zach's wife doesn't let him use the air conditioning.
Between that and the gremlin that's stuck in our lights yelling at us all show, it's actually become kind of comical.
It's our version of the shadows are in our eyes.
It sounds like the gremlin's disagreeing with everything you say.
It's like there is a trapped animal somewhere in the ceiling that is crying for help. During the show.
All it does is it's just getting louder and more frequent during your you talking about Iga.
This started last week and hasn't stopped.
Nope.
Yeah. Good luck getting
that one fixed at some point, Alex. I don't think this one's going away.
Megapod coming up at the top of next hour. We will have it live on Twitter. Yeah, I believe.
Oof.
We'll be live on YouTube TV.
I see Wyatt Tomczyk back there, and he's got a host of people around him.
Does Wyatt? I tasked him with trying to build that camera.
How'd he do?
I don't think they're doing well if they have a group of people. this is something I built in San Francisco in 30 seconds, and then yesterday I couldn't build it anymore. And they're having the same trouble, I think. Here's the podcast, the Beating the Book podcast. You can scan the QR code to download and subscribe, something I never ask people to do, which I really should.
Rate 5 stars.
That's right. Rate us.
Leave a question.
Todd Wishnev, Will Hill, and Steve Fezzik. Is the guest, the opening guest, as he was last year as well, and I believe the year before. Stevie Fezzik will be our first guest. Again, the format of the show, format of the Beating the Book Megapod for 16 years has never changed. It is our three best bets, full sides, meaning full game sides or full game totals. You're not allowed to do anything else. 3 a week, hotly contested every year. Also, your survivor play. Your teaser, your 6-point teaser of the week, which I do terribly on, should be pointed out, a couple years running. Always have the final two questions of the show. Which is the game you want no part of on the side? And which of the big favorites do you believe is the most likely to lose outright? Those are the standard questions. Of course, it flows from there.
Always great. Check it out if you haven't. Yep. The boys are ready to roll.
Tennis today, and after seeing what just happened with Iga, God help us all. These are all on the men's side. Arthur Jaya, plus 140 versus Botik van de Zandschulp. Lerner Tien, minus three games versus Karen Khachanov, as Lerner Tien tries to continue the American brigade into the quarters. And Alexander Blocks, minus three versus Francisco Cerúndolo, the good Cerúndolo.
How are these? Some of these guys still around? Yeah.
Khachanov's been, seems like he's been playing forever. Red Sox and Blue Jays. Oh, here's a good news, at least on this front. Red Sox and Blue Jays, both with four wins. They are in the group of four wins that lead the month of September. Red Sox 28-1 preflop. Blue Jays with Dylan Cease, his second of five September starts tonight at Sactown. The Blue Jays +2325, most wins in September. Blue Jays right around 10-1 right now. I'd still play it. Caleb Williams, passing yards leader for the season, 20-1. Nick Benito, defensive player of the year, at 14-1.
NFL week one for me. Jags, Jets, 6-point teaser. Jags, Texans, 6-point teaser. Bucks, Bengals, under 51.5. And the Broncos, +3, minus 120.
Yeah, and I don't know why we didn't have, but I also have San Francisco 49ers, over 9.5 wins on the season. And I am now...
It's on another graphic.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Is it on another graphic? Okay. We're just going to Greg Peterson now? Okay. Here's the Fab Five for Greg. Braves, Phillies, over 8 runs today in Major League Baseball. And he is on sides. He's on the Marlins, the Orioles, the Brewers, and the Giants. Four short favorite sides for Greg Peterson. Marlins, Orioles, and the Orioles looking for their first win in September after 6 straight losses. Now 4 back of the number 3 wildcard position. Marlins, Orioles, Brewers, and Giants from Greg, in addition to the Braves, Phillies, over 8 runs. My two NFL week one plays are the, oh, here are the NFL futures, by the way. Niners over 9.5 wins, along with those other two NFL futures that I mentioned earlier. But I'm on the Seahawks, -3.5, -104. And I'm on the Niners, +3.5, -109. The first two nights of the major, NFL season. Wednesday night football, Thursday night football. Looking forward to both of those. I've talked about them earlier, but again, with the Seahawks, Super Bowl rematch where the Seahawks almost shut out the Patriots in the Super Bowl. People forget that. The final score sort of takes them off the scent of that. But remember, I'd have 50-1 on a shutout. And in 3+ quarters, that was looking like it was going to happen till the Patriots got on the board. Mm-hmm. And then with the Niners, I'm going to retweet the travel deep dive that I did for the history of international games, isolating the Europe games. But the team that arrives earlier to the Europe games, 17-9 against the spread. There's a lot of throwouts because a lot of teams arrive on the same day. So getting there earlier has helped against the spread. I'm not as concerned with that. That's sort of just an add-on stat. For me, it's just like I think we really might be overrating off-season narratives. We'll find out, right? In due time, we'll know by Thursday night. But there they are right here on the screen as well. Seahawks, -3.5, -104. 49ers, +3.5, -109. I just think we've had an offseason filled with the Rams are the greatest team that has ever graced us. And I get it. They're going to be great with Myles Garrett and Aaron Donald. But maybe it doesn't start day one. And especially with the most international travel you can possibly have. Forget Europe. This is Australia. I mean, this is and the Rams are playing it by traveling right before game time, meaning day of, night before, in other words. And they are going to just play it through and not acclimate to the time zone. That's how they decided to play it. Okay, but all of that neutralizes any talent advantage to me that the Rams might have. So I'll take the Niners plus the points.
Definitely lean that. I'm both your bets do have those sides too, Niners and Seahawks. You know what's kind of the other interesting part about it? It's like the Niners get stuck with doing like all the like media stuff leading up to the game, like all the Australia press stuff. I started catching that this morning. I was like, man, these guys get stuck with this. The Rams just fly in the day before and play a game.
Oh, and we don't want to forget Wes Reynolds, who despite Michigan winning by how can I put this, questionable circumstances against Western Michigan, thanks to everybody who chimed in on that today, Michigan +5.5 today, in week two of college football for Wes, and he's also on North Texas, plus 3.5, respectively, in their games. We've done all we can do. Prop Points is next with John Hansen. Enjoy your Labor Day. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.